glad for each one of you who's here today. God bless each of you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, since this is Mother's Day, I get to preach about mothers. Hallelujah. Already said quite a bit about my mother and how thankful I was that I had a spiritual mother who taught me a lot as I was growing up. And the trials and tests we went through in my lifetime, God was right there with us. And thank God for his faithfulness. Praise the Lord. So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis. We're going to talk about the first mother first. Since she's the first, we'll talk about her first. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to have prayer also that the Lord will bless this sermon. Glory to God. What if he hadn't created a woman? He had a plan, didn't he? Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless this word. Father, we just thank you today for the word of God, which is so real to our hearts. Lord, what a blessing it is to know, Father, that you have worked all of these things out way, way long time before the foundation of the world. Lord, that there would be women who would become mothers and produce children, Father, and all, even the first mother, Eve, dear God, you had it all planned. Oh, Father, thank you that your son came and was born of a woman. Amazing, amazing, that he might have a human body and understand us. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Bless this word to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we want to be in Genesis, the second chapter, and we're going to go to the 20th verse. Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him, a helpmeet, someone that could help along with him. I think in the original, the word means a part opposite to him. Praise the Lord. So had to be opposite, didn't it? God knew what was needed, and that's the way that it's happened ever since. Women and men marry, have children, and how precious it is that we honor our mothers now. So going on in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, builded he a woman. The word made he a woman actually is builded in the original. Builded he a woman. And he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh. And so that's God's instigating this thing of having children, having parents, fathers and mothers. How important. And the world is in such a mess now, isn't it? There's just so many children that are raised without their parents, either one of them missing. And it's just caused a lot of trouble and sorrow in this world. Let's look in verse 20 of chapter 3 of Genesis. It says, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. The mother of all living. God's beautiful twofold plan. First, to have a human race. To have a human race. Have a woman that could have children that would multiply and cause the human race to become what it would be when the Son of God would come to die for the world. Praise the Lord. He began to bring forth his Son in human form to redeem a people and to bring many sons to glory, the scripture says. Praise the Lord. A lot of trouble, wasn't there? Let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians, the fourth chapter. verse 4 and 5 of this fourth chapter. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So see, there was always a motive, wasn't there? That the woman would bear children, and the time would go on and on and on till finally there came this woman into being, Mary, that God appointed. She was a woman that loved God, and she then became the mother of Jesus. How important that was. So when the fullness of time, the appointed time of the prophesied time, or the prophesied time, the proper time came, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, there in her body, carrying that. Oh, how precious that was, that Jesus Christ was from God. He was born of God into this woman's flesh, that he might come forth as a human being that could die for us. And verse 5 says it's to redeem them that were under the law. Those that were under the law, that there was no way to be saved except to just try to keep the law of commandments. Of course, we know that some people did cast themselves upon the Lord and were saved, but it was more difficult than it is now to be born again. And he says that we might receive the adoption of sons. Here's this word adoption again, not speaking of the kind of adoption we think of in this life, because it means son placing. And so when the Lord comes to us and he shows us that we need to be born again, we're born again into the family of God. It's not like we just stay in our flesh and, you know, and somehow we get there. But the praise the Lord, he redeems us. He causes us to be placed as his divine sons in the family of God. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. God's beautiful plan. And God's plan is still working today. So we're going to look at two women in the Bible. And let's go to the book of Judges in the Old Testament. This woman is an outstanding woman. I know I've always loved this story since I was a child. Just a beautiful story of how she wanted a child so badly, and finally God gave it to her. It's in the book of Judges, chapter 4. And this woman's name was Deborah. Deborah. But it's in verse 4 of chapter 4 of the book of Judges. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment and sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, that's of the tribe of Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded thee, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army with his chariots and multitudes, and I will deliver him into your hand. So here is this woman, Deborah, that's a person who sits under a palm tree and does judgments. That's kind of unusual in the Old Testament, isn't it? Usually the men were the ones that were into things like that. But when anyone had a problem and they wanted to solve some problem, this woman would be sitting under a palm tree and she would be able to solve their problem spiritually. Praise the Lord. So in verse 8, Barak said, If thou wilt go with me, he's talking to Deborah, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. It's true, later on we find that this evil man, Sisera, who was going to wipe out Israel, is his motive. He was from another foreign country there. And he went, and later in the story, he went to this place, and this woman was there, and he asked of her some help, and praise the Lord, she waited till he laid down, and then she killed him. She drove a nail through his head. We don't like that kind of stuff now, but we don't want any of our women that love God go out and kill somebody. That doesn't look good, does it? It isn't right. But this is what God did, because this was a very, very horrible man, a horrible man that was going to kill all of the Israelites, as many as he could. Praise the Lord. So in verse 4, we found out that she was a prophetess. She spoke by divine inspiration, is what that means. And in verse 4 also, she was a judge. In verse 8, we see that Barak says, if you'll go with me, that I will go. He was supposed to be the commander-in-chief in the army, but he didn't want to go unless she went, because she was a godly woman. Verse 14 says, and Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. So she was a woman that encouraged him to go on and do what God wants you to do. God is going to be with you. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Praise the Lord. She was a faithful Lord. Hallelujah. So the commander-in-chief and Deborah went onward. And then in verse 8, we see that the soldiers, let's see if that's the one I want. Barak said to her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. If thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. Praise the Lord. So even though he was a leader, she went out to the battle with him. Isn't that unusual? Only occasionally in the Bible do we see that a woman goes to the battlefield. But, you know, God calls many people, doesn't he? And things that we wouldn't expect. And today we have women that are godly women, godly mothers who have raised their children to love God. And those who stand for the Word of God, Word of God. It's so important that we have this kind of thing going on. And that isn't putting down the men. We thank God for all of you men that love God, but we should all be so thankful of the mother we had. I'm thankful for my mother, and I know that you are, because she taught us the Word of God right in the home all the time. We never went to bed without Bible stories and prayer, and she made sure that we were born again and taught Sunday school all the time too, so we usually had her in Sunday school class. Praise the Lord. I want to look chapter 5, 1. Let's look at that. This is a song that Deborah and Barak sang when they got the victory, when they were able to kill this old Sisera. They didn't kill him. This other woman, Jael, she's the one that killed him, really, you know. But how happy they were. This is a psalm of praise that we see here in chapter 5. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, praise you, the Lord, for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. I love that. They willingly offered themselves. How many of us willingly offer ourselves to the Lord? It's important.
Yeah.
You see, what would have happened if Deborah had just said, well, that's too hard for me. I'm a woman. And that's okay. You just go ahead and do what you want. But God used her to help this man, this Barak, this man that was ahead of the forces, to go on and do what God wanted him to do. And even went to battle out there with him. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that that's what we should all do as women, you know, and be on into everything. God has wonderful things that he uses us for. But anyway, just to see how wonderful it is to depend on the Lord. The people willingly offered themselves. They went out there and they obeyed the scripture, and they were victorious in that trial. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Notice verse 3. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord of Israel. This was a wonderful, wonderful victory. And so we see there the great influence of a woman who will stand for God. And I think that is so important in the lives of all of the women, whether you're older or you're younger, is to stand for the things of God in your home. Be yielded to God. And if you have children, be sure they hear the message of salvation, and important is to show forth Christ in front of them. Otherwise, maybe they won't know what it is. Now, the next one, we want to go to 1 Samuel 1:1. 1 Samuel 1:1. We're just going to talk about two women. The Bible's just full of women, you know. But we're just going to talk about these two women. 1 Samuel 1:1. This is another woman that is a very sweet, yielded woman. And she had a problem, didn't she? Most of us already know that. In verse 1 of chapter 1, there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of so forth, clear on. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, and were the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and all of her sons and her daughter portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, who do you suppose the adversary was? It probably was the devil working through Peninnah. Ha ha, I have children. He loves me better than he loves you. He's just giving you a little bit of money. He gives me lots of money. Can you see all of that stuff that goes on? We don't know that for sure, but we know that the devil will work and try to cause disharmony and problems. And it just went on year by year in verse 7 when he went up to the house. When she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, this Peninnah, of course it was. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. And so here they are going up, and her husband doesn't really understand what's wrong with her. In verse 10, it says, she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and she said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, a little boy, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall not no razor come upon his head. The fact of no razor means that he was going to be dedicated to the Lord in a special way, where these men that became isn't it a Mennonite? I believe so. That they would be like Samson. You know, he grew great massive muscles and he wore his hair long and he could do all this stuff. It was because he had become this type of person with the Lord, and they didn't cut their hair. So she's saying Samuel is this boy that's going to be born, God going to give to me, is going to be dedicated completely to God. That's what she's saying. He will be a servant of the Lord. Okay. So she continued. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli marked her mouth. Eli thought that she was drunk. and needed to be corrected because she was saying something, moving her mouth, not letting it come out too loud where he could hear. But praise the Lord, she wasn't drunk. In verse 14, Eli said to her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord." What an example of a woman that loves God and loved him so much that she was just saying, "Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. I want a child so bad." Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Belial's another name for the devil. "For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken hitherto." Then Eli answered and said, Eli was the major high priest, "Go in peace, and God, the God of Israel, grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Isn't that a beautiful thing? How many of us are like that? You as a woman, have you ever been through something that you thought you'd never get over? Yes. I have. You just, you know, you go through these sorrows and these things, and you just feel like, where is the end going to ever happen? What is God doing up there? Is he listening to me? You know, I don't know. Maybe you never went through that. But I have. I've gone through times that I've just, you know, wondered about things sometimes. But God was always faithful. But she just turned it all over to the Lord. That's what we need to do as women, as mothers. All of us as mothers, we have problems with kids, don't we? I mean, I have a child I would really like to see fully dedicate his life to the Lord. I haven't seen him in a long time. He's moved away, and I haven't seen him, but I pray for him all the time, and I know God is faithful, but if we can just come to that place like she did and just pour out our soul before the Lord on it and just say, "Okay, Lord, I just turn it over to you. That's all I can do." And isn't it a beautiful thing? And just have that countenance no more sad. Praise the Lord. That's what God can do for us as mothers. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Verse 20, "Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived." She conceived because she had turned this all over to the Lord. "And she bare a son, and she called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord." And that's exactly what that name means. Samuel means ask of God. So she asked God, and then God knew what he was going to do to this child. This child was going to be a wonderful, wonderful, yielded person. It's such a blessing. And I know most of you know the story about little Samuel being given there to the priest, and he's there in his little cot at night, and he hears this voice talking to him. That's in chapter 2. If you haven't read in a while, read it. And as that little boy, you know, ran to Eli, the priest, and says, "What do you want, Eli? What do you want?" He says, "Go back and lay down." This goes on. "Well, go back and lay down." Finally, Eli says, "The Lord's talking to you. The next time this voice comes to you, say, 'Here I am, Lord.'" Isn't that an amazing thing? A child that young, probably around 3 or 4 years old, because his mother kept him at home until he was weaned. That's in verse 24. "When she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks." Those are, you know, calves, "and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young." Yes, and then verse 27, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth, and he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. She lent him to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Yes. It's hard. especially if our child isn't walking with the Lord, to just commit them to God, you know. But we need to be in prayer for our children and pray that the Lord will do the work, because he can do that, certainly. He's faithful, and he will. And so we praise God. Her godly influence on this child planted seeds of faith,
yes,
which caused his heart to be toward God. What do you think she was doing those 2 years that she was probably breastfeeding him and taking care of him so he'd be big enough to go to the tabernacle? She wanted to be sure that he is established in the Lord, that he knew the love of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. This man became a great prophet and a judge of Israel. In our Bible, in Exodus 20, verse 12, let's turn there since we're over here. Exodus 20, verse 12. The 20th chapter of Exodus, who knows what that is? What's there before we turn there? The law. The commandment of the law is given in this chapter 20. And in the 12th verse, there's a very important verse that God put in there, which is interesting. And that is, as we turn there, verse 12, it's the fifth commandment in the Ten Commandments. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and thy mother. It's very important for children to be raised to have an honor to their parent, loving their parent and being obedient to their parent. Sometimes it's hard, but God is working. Hallelujah. I wrote in my notes, a child is never to be placed above God in our heart. You see, that's what she represented. This child is going to serve God. So I'm going to make sure that he understands about God before I turn him over to the high priest. And that is a very important thing with all parents, is to teach their children to love God. Teach them to love God. Sometimes it doesn't always work, right? We go through trials. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In John 2, it says there about Jesus, he did the will of God and not the will of his mother. And he says, she's saying, comes to him and says, they need more wine, they need more wine. And he says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Yet he gave in, didn't he? That was his first miracle. We don't understand that exactly, but anyway, praise the Lord. And in Luke, the 11th chapter, let's look back there. I think this one is important. Jesus had a supernatural birth. We all know that, don't we? She didn't know any man at all, and here the Lord caused her to be pregnant with a child that was going to be his sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And my goodness, what a thing. We know about all that. So chapter 11 of Luke and verse 27, it came to pass as he spoke these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, this is unto Jesus, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. And he said, and Jesus said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So we know that some religions really, really put Mary on a big throne, you know, and they worship her and everything, and they pray to her. We went through that quite a bit before we came here. We, in New Mexico, we had Bible studies with people who were Catholic, and they just really had a hard time, you know, with that situation of praying to Mary. And I know that God did really come in, and many of them were saved, you know, right there in our home and in the other place where we taught them, in another person's home. But the Lord says, Mary isn't to be honored about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But it just shows, and we love Mary. She's one of the body of Christ, isn't she? She's a precious woman that was willing to go and let the Lord have his way and completely in her life. He was tender to her in the 19th chapter, and I think we won't go there, but you know, the 19th chapter, verse 25 through 27, is where he was hanging on the cross. And here's Mary standing there with his disciple John in front of the only disciple evidently that got up there to the cross. And he looks down, Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he looks down to his mother, and he shows the respect and the love by saying to John, John, behold thy mother. And from that day, and John knew what he meant, and John took Mary, it says, to live with him in his house and watched after her. That's just really a neat thing. It's just a blessing. And now, you know what? John lived longer than any of the disciples. He was still alive, wrote the book of Revelation as God gave him the revelation when he's on the Isle of Patmos. And he got out from there and went back up to Ephesus and was a minister there. You know, he wrote all of those books that he wrote in the Bible. Amazing. Suppose God said, okay, John, you did what you said you would, so this is a blessing on your life. It's amazing, isn't it, to think of. He was a sweet man. Praise the Lord. The responsibility of parents is found in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. And I'm thankful that my mother dealt with us in the home and taught us in Sunday school and all of that. And I think through her example, it was helpful to me in raising children to teach them the Word of God and take them to youth camp. And some of your kids all went to youth camp with me years ago. And so in this chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And that's the one we read over there in Exodus. That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So there is a blessing on children that honor the parents. And that's why it's so important to teach our children when they're little to respect older people, respect their parents and all of that. Praise the Lord. Notice that the mother is a teacher. The mother is a teacher of the parents. Praise the Lord. Obeying the parents that are over us. Praise the Lord. And I probably could just ask you this. How many of you were taught by your parent? When you couldn't go, you came home from school the first time you ever saw math. What is it? And mom was there. Okay, this is what it is. You know, mom was always there, wasn't she? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. It doesn't say about what happens in there between. We train the child up, and sometimes it's not until they're old that they realize that they need to walk with God and yield to God. But that's our part as a mother, as a father of the family, is to train up our children. And I'm very thankful for the training that I had as a child. I don't know where I would be today if it wasn't for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I praise him for that. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1:5. 2 Timothy, praise the Lord. It seemed like the man Timothy, who became such a, you know, disciple of Apostle Paul, that maybe his father had died. But it's the emphasis is more on his mother here. But that's what I want to represent today, is more the remembering of those who are our mothers and our grandmothers. What a blessing they are. I had a very godly grandmother on my dad's side, and it was common for her to just worship the Lord. And she was in one of the first grace meetings in Oklahoma, and she and her husband, and they really loved the Lord until their death. They came into the truth, and before that, they were so vile, you can't believe how bad. But their daughter, the one only daughter they had four boys and they had one girl, 14-year-old, went out into a brush arbor meeting. Do you know what that is? They just cut down trees and they make a spot and they put all this brush along the sides, and they have a preacher come and he preaches an evangelistic service and people get saved. That's what it was back in those days, probably in the 20s. And Marie was her name. That's why I'm named Anita Marie. Marie was my aunt I never met, because when she was 14 years old, she got saved. And she came home to the family and she told them about Jesus. And they were all drinkers. They were just horrible people at that point. And she witnessed to them about Christ. And it wasn't very long until she got terrific, terrific illness, pain, terrible pain in her body. And the doctor came out and operated on her on the kitchen table out in the country and opened her up and found she had a burst appendix. And he sewed her back up, but she died. And you know, through that is why my parents, my family are saved. All of the brothers except for one received Christ. My grandparents received Christ. My grandmother became a dynamic Christian for the Lord in one of the first grace meetings, as I said a while ago, down in Oklahoma. And I'm so thankful for that, for my grandmother that loved God and taught my mother. My mother was Christian church, and she married my dad, and my dad said, "We're not going to the Christian church. We're going to go to this grace meeting." And it was upsetting to her. "Why, my dad is a minister. What am I going to do?" And the parents didn't like it at all when she married this man and wouldn't recognize my dad as even being saved. But finally, at the deathbed of my grandfather Murphy, he called my dad in and said, "I want to tell you, God has just revealed to me that whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is saved." Praise the Lord. How God deals with us. And so let's look here in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 5. Paul is talking to Timothy to encourage him in the Lord. In verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," that's the genuine, sincere, and divine legacy that is in Timothy, "which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Praise the Lord. Apostle Timothy became a great man in ministry after Paul passed away, and before he even was with Paul. He was from a grandmother, Lois, and a mother, Eunice, that were godly and loved the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? It is. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to have a mother that teaches you the Word of God. It's a beautiful thing. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for it. So be thankful for your mother, for what she meant to you. Maybe as I, thankful for grandmother that was so godly. I remember so much about her. She's a really good cook, too. So we always enjoyed going to Grandma's house. Praise the Lord. Be thankful for what you have had, the light that has shined on your path. Praise the Lord. Isn't it beautiful to remember that? I am so glad for the things that God gave me as a child. I was saved when I was 5 years old. I've told you this. when my dad was preaching on the mark of the beast, boy, I knelt down immediately at the back, said, Lord, save me. But I'd been taught the word from the time I was just small. That's all we knew. But anyway, I know that's when Christ came into my heart. So I praise the Lord for all of those people that were faithful in the word of God and brought forth the truth. Hallelujah. So we're going to sing a song. And if you have any need that you want to come and pray at the altar or anything like that, anything that you need prayer for, feel free to come up and we will sure pray for you. Praise the Lord.